Life Audio.
Welcome to the Growing Home Together podcast. There is a story I love in the Bible from Exodus chapter 17. The Israelites are in battle, and as long as Moses holds up his hands, the Israelites win over their enemy. But Moses gets too tired to hold up his arms, so his friends step in and hold his arms up for him. I can't tell you how many times I felt like I was getting defeated in life. And like Moses, I was too tired to keep going. And I'll tell you, in those times, it was often Joanna who stepped in and held me up through prayer and encouragement until I got through to the other side. Today on our program, Joanna will be talking with our guest about how wives can encourage, pray, and love their husbands through the challenges of life. I think you'll be really encouraged yourself in your own marriage. Thank you for joining us. Hey, I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna Tigan. Rob and I have been married over 30 years and share an addiction to coffee, bookstores, and Christmas music.
We often debate how many dogs are enough and who should win The Voice every season.
We're a neat freak married to a not-so-neat freak, an explorer to a homebody, and an introvert to a people person.
But we do agree that our vows are for always, children are a gift, and prayer is powerful.
Our hope through this podcast is that we can walk with you in caring for the soul of your family. Thanks for being here. Thank you so much for joining me today for the Growing Home Together podcast. You know, out of all the women I've met, I can't think of one wife who doesn't sincerely love her husband. But I can think of many, many women who, despite the love that they feel, are feeling disappointed and discouraged in their marriages. Their husband seems distant and he doesn't want to work on a close relationship. Their communication has broken down, so they argue all the time. They see their husband struggling and stressed out, but they have no idea how to support him in what he's going through. Or life is just so busy that their marriage is getting lost in the shuffle. As wives, we want to know how to bring life to our marriage when we're losing hope. And that is why I'm so glad to welcome today's guest, Estrella Rogers, to the show today. Estrella is a licensed counselor, an author, a speaker, and she's the founder of Star Level Coaching, where she coaches couples to build strong and lasting relationships. She's also a wife and a mom who has experienced the power of prayer in her own family. Thank you so much, Estrella, for joining us today.
Thank you, Joanna, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, well, before we jump in, could you share a little bit with us about your family?
Absolutely. So I am a mother of three. I have two boys and a bonus daughter is what I call her, but she's my love. And I also have, along with me and my husband and my children, I have two, I guess, other bonus children, my cousin who I raised and my niece who is living with me now. And so we are a very, very, very busy family. We deal with a lot of life adjustments. We are a sports family is what I like to say. I'm a Bleacher mom. So I live by the Friday night lights and I live under the, or I live on, I should say, the wood of the bleachers in the gym. So that is my exciting time, I would say, in life. But I have been married for 14 years in August. We'll be married for 14 years. And we have been together actually for 19 years now. In August will be 19 years that we've been together. So again, I am, you know, we just kind of, we're a regular family. We have the ups and the downs that everybody else has, you know, but we make it work and it's really exciting. I am also a member of my church family here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I was previously the youth leader for my church for about 5 years and have now kind of moved over to the ministry in my home and trying to just make sure that, you know, that we have everything where we need to be at home, especially with the transitions that we've had recently and then, you know, with COVID and everything else happening. So, but that's, in a nutshell, who I am. I can talk a lot about it, but I am a mother and a wife and a therapist and all of those things above.
I love that. It sounds like you're a cheerleader in the stands with your kids, and then you're a cheerleader of families in your work. That is so great.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think at some point, every couple reaches a point where they feel stuck. So they've grown apart and they don't know how to get close again, or some issue comes between them that they just can't seem to resolve. So have you experienced that in your own marriage where you just knew something was stuck but needed to change?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be very honest, it's really interesting when you ask that question, because I kind of sat back to want to think about that. And one of the things that I will say is, when I realized we were kind of at this place, and you know, everybody goes through this in marriage, but we were at a place where we were putting everything before our marriage. And for me, honestly, it was the church, it was work, it was friends, but I was putting everything before my relationship, family. If people asked me to do things, you know, I was out doing them. And I didn't realize at the time that my marriage was falling down the priority list little by little. And when I say that, I didn't realize it because we were always together. So we were always together because my kids, like I said, they were in sports and we're always running here to there. And so I didn't realize at the time that as I was going to all of these meetings, as I was going to work, we were going to games, doing all of these things, but we weren't taking the time to really spend time together. We weren't having the quality time, you know, that we really needed as a couple. And so there came a point in our relationship, in our marriage, that we kind of got to a place where we were kind of strangers and we were kind of two ships in a household, as they would say, just kind of two ships sailing by. And it was so busy and so back and forth to where, you know, we're coming in the house, we're leaving out of the house, we're coming back in the house, 8, 9 o'clock, we're just kind of going to sleep. How was your day? It was good. And kind of that was it. So it wasn't like we were angry with each other, but it got to a point where we were just so, we became very distant, because our marriage was not a priority. So in the midst, we got distracted by other things. And like I said, for me, it was work and just, it was just a lot of things. And we ended up separating. And I thought, honestly, that that was something that would never happen in my marriage. At the time, I was a therapist. I wasn't a couples therapist yet. But I was a therapist and I was in church and, you know, just kind of doing everything that I thought that I was supposed to be doing right. And then it wasn't until that moment that I realized that, whoa, like we totally messed this up. Like we had totally kind of botched it in a sense. That was really when I realized, like, oh my gosh, like how did we get to this point? And looking back, I realized what got us to that point. And it was not keeping our marriage as a priority.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm really resonating with what you're saying, because Rob and I have been working at home together even since pre-COVID, when I know a lot of couples were thrown into that. But just that physical proximity is no guarantee that you're going to have the intimacy and the closeness and the support that you really want. So I think your experience is probably more common than we know.
Yes.
But you know, at that point, from what I know of you, God spoke into your heart and led you to do something kind of unexpected for your marriage. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, he did. So we were at a point where we were probably in about month, I believe I'm going to say probably about month four. And our separation was amicable. It was like, okay, but we were in about month four and I knew that I wanted my marriage. I did know that. But God had spoke to me, and I remember I was coming home and he spoke to me and it was so clear as day. And his voice just said to me, so still, just, you need to pray for your husband. And I was just like, you know, I do. I pray for him all the time. And it was like, no, you need to pray for him. And the instructions came to me so clear. And it was instructions to pray for him for 30 days without stopping, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And I was to pray for him on different parts like of his body. And at first I thought, I was like, okay, God, I'll do it. But then the instructions came for me to write it down. And I said, okay, I'll write my prayers. And so what I did was I woke up every morning and I prayed for different parts of him. I prayed down from his physical being to different characteristics that he had. And I was just praying, and I would get a scripture that matched my prayer. So I began to pray for him, and I did that for 30 days straight. And it was really interesting, because during my prayer time, And I'll tell you, I think it was around, and I think I put it in the book, but around day seven, some things started happening and I was just like, oh my gosh. And they were bad. They were not good things. Bad things started happening. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I'm praying for him. But I could hear God's voice saying, keep praying, you know, keep praying. And as I continued to pray, things started to shift in our lives. And we actually, at the end of my 30 days, we actually started going back to counseling or going to counseling, excuse me. And then we got back together and, you know, here we are.
Oh, that is so neat. Yeah, that's really neat. And you know what I love is that you saw this very real impact of prayer on your marriage. And then you didn't just keep that to yourself. So how did this marriage story turn into a ministry to other women who wanted to grow their marriages?
Ooh, yeah. So my husband and I, and that was our journey. You know, I prayed for him. And several years later, so we, like I said, we got back together. We went to couples counseling. It was a beautiful thing. During couples counseling, I realized, and I will say this, I realized a lot of things in counseling. And one of the major things I realized was that I had been taught a lot of things wrong when it came to marriage. I did not at the time have a lot of healthy marriages to look at. And so what I realized is that a lot of the things that I had learned as a child growing up were not correct. And so when we finished marriage counseling, I actually, between prayer and counseling, I said, okay, I want to be a relationship therapist. And so I actually became, that's when I started to really make marriages my niche. And I started to really work with couples. And so my husband and I personally, we ended up buying a new house, moving. And so this is now several years later. And during COVID, I heard, and I say during COVID because this is during like the pandemic when everyone was shut down. But I heard a still voice during my prayer time. And God just said, you know, make it a book. And I was just like, oh, make what a book? You know, this is what I'm thinking in my head, like, make what a book? And I was instructed to take my prayers and make them into a book and into a prayer journal. And I was really hesitant, to be very honest at first, because my husband is very private. He's a very private person. And so I said, okay, God, I said, if you want me to make this into a prayer journal, you know, I have to clear it with him first. And that's what I did. I spoke with my husband and I was like, hey, like, you know, God has told me to take this prayer journal and make it into a book. Well, first he looked at me kind of shocked because he didn't even know that I had prayed for him during that time.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, he had no idea that I had even done the 30-day prayer. And so he was like, oh, okay. Well, number one, you know, he's like, thank you for praying for me, you know, and, but he said, yeah, you can do that. And so he was open to it. And because of that, I knew that was confirmation for me that God wanted me to make this a book. To be very honest, at the time, my prayer was like, God, if just one person, just one woman reads this book, God, I'll be okay. Like, I thought it was going to be, I don't know. Honestly, I thought I was going to write this journal and I was going to make it. And honestly, I thought one person was going to read it. What happened was not that. honestly, what happened was when my editor, while she was editing my book, it took her a while to edit the book. So even through editing, what happened was she was going through something in her marriage and she actually began to pray the book. Mm-hmm. While she was editing my book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she told me, she all called me and she apologized. She said, I'm so sorry, Star. She said, but I'm actually, she said, I've been praying the book. She said, I've been going through stuff in my marriage. And she said, I can't tell you how much this is blessing me. And so I was like, okay. So, you know, I was like, okay, God, well, maybe that's what it was for. You know, so, so we get the book edited. And so not to be too long-winded, but it turned out to be a beautiful thing. The book was published. And once the book was published, women began praying. They began to pray for their husbands. They began to purchase the book. And the ministry came because many women actually contacted me and they were contacting me about the book. But then the question came, well, what do we do while we're praying? And what do we do when we're done?
Right.
And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, you know, when I wrote the book, my editor said, you should have a Facebook community. And I didn't really understand at the time. I was like, okay, well, yeah, just put that in the book. We'll have a Facebook community. But then that's what became the community. The community became a support system for the women while they're reading the book and doing their prayers, while they're going through things in their marriages. And then speaking engagement came. And, you know, someone asked me, they said, can you come and speak at our church about the book? And can you come and speak about, and, you know, I'm a Christian counselor, but I'm not a minister, right? And so at some point in this time, imposter syndrome kind of slid its way in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when that began to happen, I could only hear God's voice saying, do what I told you to do. Do what I'm telling you to do. And I began to really just listen, and I began to move as God told me to move. In my prayer group, or in the prayers for my husband Facebook group, we pray in the morning. And what happened was the group, when God spoke to me and said, you all, you know, I want you to start praying in the morning. I put it up and I told the ladies, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start praying for each other, but first we're going to pray the book. And I had never prayed in a public setting like that. So we're on Facebook Live in front of a group of people. Mm-hmm. Now, I've prayed before, like in my church, because, you know, it's my church and I'm a little comfortable praying in church, but I've never done that publicly in that way. And so what happened was I began to pray and I began to study even more. And as this journey continues, I'm growing, the women are growing, women begin to sign up to pray. So now there's women that have never prayed in their lives. There's women that have never prayed in public in their lives. And now they begin to pray. They're getting on the lives and they're praying. And so it's just been, it's really just been a miraculous journey. But, you know, really what led me was just women asking and saying, we need support through this. Mm-hmm. We're going through things in our marriage and we really need support even as we pray. And that's what started it. That's what started it, to be very honest.
Yeah, I love that. So you set out with a goal of inviting God into your marriage to do something new. And then that did something new in you too. And now you see God growing the faith of other women. I just love how God does that. He takes our little lunch and he feeds 5,000 people, right? It's just incredible to me. So I love that. So if you have this wonderful community now of women, are there any particular stories, even one that stand out in your mind of how God met someone else in their prayer life with him?
Yes. One, which I thought was just so amazing. And she posted in the group, this woman, she actually recently got married to her husband, and her husband actually did the book together. So they did it differently. They actually did the book together. And what they would do is when they got in the mornings, when they would wake up, they would do a devotional, but then they would pray the prayer in the book and she would pray over her husband. So they did it together. Well, what happened was on the last day, on day 30, basically in her own words, she said that he was overcome by the Holy Spirit on their last prayer day. And she said that he was crying, you know, her husband became crying uncontrollably and he was just emotional. And she said that he looked at her and he said, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Like that's never happened to me before. And she said that was the Holy Spirit. She told him, you know, she said that was the Holy Spirit. And she said that from doing the prayers in the book, not only did it bring him closer to God, but it gave them the ability together as a couple to really to be able to share in that moment together and just really share how God was working and to be able to see how God was working in their lives. And so I thought that was just, for me, it was so amazing because I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, God, you are so amazing. You are so amazing.
Oh, that is beautiful. Well, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to maintain a hard heart towards someone that you're actively, sincerely praying for. So I can just imagine how transformational that is. That's really neat.
Like I said, it's been so beautiful to watch and it's been beautiful to see the testimonies and to hear women say, you know, through my prayers, God save my marriage. Like, mm-hmm. because in the book, they pray, like, so I have my prayers, but then they have to write their own prayers. I can't really explain the feeling to know that my obedience and my yes was the catalyst for someone praying for their husband. And then in turn, when they respond to me and they say, thank you for your yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love the way that God can write such an amazing story out of what seems like such small things. I just love that. Yeah. So thank you. You've encouraged all of us to look at God's question for us and to say yes too. So thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, if I could tell you anything about my husband, Rob, it would be that he is not afraid to tackle difficult things. So I remember in one season a few years ago, he was working on his degree and he was working full time and traveling a lot for his job. And he was fathering our big family and he was grieving his dad's recent passing and serving all over the place at church. I mean, I married a guy with a work ethic times 10. But I'll tell you, that pressure on him was really rough. And for me as his wife, I felt lost a lot of the time in how to support him and all of those things that he was carrying. So I know we're talking a lot about prayer, but in addition, what advice would you give a wife like me who really just wants to support her husband in his hard times?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would say is, number one, you know, really listen to what it is that he actually wants. A lot of times we kind of assume that we know what they need and we assume in a sense what they want. But the first thing that I would say is really being able to listen. Supporting someone means to be an assistant to them. It means to help them carry the weight or the burden. And so sometimes it's really important for us to just take a step back to understand and hear when they're saying what it is that they need. So in order to support them, we really have to listen. And then once we hear them, we have to be very mindful not to be defensive and not to try to fix things in the way that we want them to necessarily be fixed, but maybe asking them just simply, how can I support you? How can I be there for you throughout what you're doing? I see that you are working hard. I see that you're going out there and you're doing these things. You seem stressed. Is there anything that I can do to help relieve, you know, some of that stress? Is there anything that I can do to help? And here's the thing. Sometimes they may say, yes, you can do X, Y, and Z. But sometimes they may say, honestly, I don't know that there's anything that you can do. And if you don't know, if they say, I don't know, then you just be there with them. You be that support for them physically. So it may be literally just being there for them to be able to rest their head on you. And you just say, you know what, everything is going to be okay. Like, we have this. So giving them words of affirmation, giving them words of encouragement and letting them know, like, I got your back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no matter if we're living in a cardboard box, if we are living in the twin, you know, in a high tower, like a condo, it doesn't matter where we are. Like, I'm in this fight with you and I have your back. And I think it's really important for them to know and to understand that we are supporting them in that way and really listening to understand what it is that they want.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You're making me think back to that. And Rob is a verbal processor. I am not a verbal processor. I would say if I was under that level of pressure, I'd probably want a lot of space. Rob mm-hmm. wanted a sounding board. And even if I just sat there and let him bounce ideas for his college papers off of me, that seemed to mean mm-hmm. a lot to him. I mean, it seemed like such small things, but I think what I'm hearing you say is small things aren't really small things, you know? No. But that presence is a big deal. So yeah, I love that. Thank you.
And I'll say this really quickly also, you know, being mindful, there's something in relationships and communication that we call bids. And bids are individuals vying for the other person's attention. And a lot of times what will happen is, and especially what you just kind of explained, like it would be like, what if Rob said to you, hey, I just want to take a moment and, you know, just talk about this college paper. Do you have a minute? And you say, oh my gosh, no, actually I got to run and I got to go take the kids and I got to do X, Y, and Z and I got to do this or what, you know? And it's like, he just asked if you would help him do something, but you had other things to do and maybe not the kids, maybe something else, but you know, you had something else to do. And so what happens is in that moment, he feels unsupported. And he also feels like, I don't know if I want to come back and ask her again to help me because she's always too busy for me. Mm-hmm. So when we have to be really mindful, and bids can be big like that, but bids can be something as simple as saying, hey, babe, you know, him coming home and saying, hey, babe, how was your day? But you're running around doing other things. And so now I'm not returning and I'm not turning towards you and I'm not returning the conversation because I'm busy doing something else. And so support always goes in, like I said, in listening, but it also goes in showing interest in what they're saying to us or what they're doing. And that also shows like, hey, I'm here and I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to listen to support you. So we have to be mindful of that as well when, you know, our husbands give us bids in a sense or attention.
Right. That is a really striking idea because I think if we have our own way of kind of reaching out and expressing, hey, I want to connect with you, it might look like such and such, but our husbands are going to have a unique way of approaching us. And I think maybe it would be really easy to miss those signals, mm-hmm. you know, even if they're present. We might say, oh, my husband's not really interested in connecting with me, but he very well might be. We're just totally missing those bids that you're talking about. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I have to really start paying close attention. It would be really curious to see what I find. That's really an interesting way of looking at it. I had hoped today to ask you what a wife can do to kind of open up those lines of communication with her husband. So if the first one is even just picking up on those cues in the first place, that's pretty big, huh?
Yes, that is very big, to be very honest. And I'll tell you, it's important to them because that's how you connect. So, but when we talk about wives being able to really open communication with their husbands, I will tell you a couple of things. So one of the things is, number one, listening. Number two, giving them time to process. So a lot of times what I will see, and obviously every relationship is not the same and every husband is not the same, but what I see that happens a lot of time in my office is that wives seem to, like, we have the ability to speak quickly about what we want. So I'll have a wife that's speaking and she's speaking and she'll ask a question. And before her husband can answer, because he's trying to process what she said. So he's thinking about what she said and he's trying to process his answer. And a lot of times before he can even answer, she begins to start talking again. And I'll have to say, wait a minute, he's thinking. So give him the opportunity to think and to respond before you give a rebuttal. So sometimes that's an issue that we kind of overtalk them because they're thinking about what they need to say. So that can be an issue. Another thing when it comes to communication is trying to really understand without becoming defensive. So if your husband says, let's just say, for instance, you say, well, what's going on with us? Like, tell me, you know, why we're not as close. And maybe he says, well, you know what? You're just not fun anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, in that moment, you have two choices. Either one, you can become defensive and you can say, what do you mean I'm not fun anymore? Like, we just did X, Y, and Z. We just went here last week. Like, we always have fun. What do you mean we're not fun? So you can become defensive and say that. Or you can say, can you tell me a little bit more about that? What do you mean by I'm not fun? Because a lot of times what happens is your definition of fun and his definition of fun may not be the same. What if he just wants to go for a bike ride and you're wanting to go bowling with your friends? And he's like, I don't want to be around other people. I just want to be with you. But you would never know that if you become defensive and you don't ask him, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. For right? sure. So, yeah. So just being able to create kind of this level of safety in a space where our husbands know they can tell us what their needs are without us immediately going into self-protective mode, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That takes a dose of humility, doesn't it, to be able to receive that sometimes.
It does. I mean, honestly, it really does. And then I will say also being mindful of minimizing and judging. So when they do say something, you know, saying, well, I don't really think that was a big deal. Like, that wasn't that serious. So I don't really want to communicate with you. I don't want to share with you if you're minimizing what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I can just imagine some of the wives listening today are thinking, well, why aren't you talking to my husband today? Because they feel frustrated because it already feels like they're doing all the work in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell the woman who feels like she's kind of alone in it, trying to get things better?
So one thing I would say is, number one, you know, definitely doing first a self-evaluation. And I know that a lot of times when we are the ones that are trying, we automatically feel like, no, I've definitely done my part. I'm definitely doing that everything that I know to do, right? So sometimes self-evaluation may be actually going to like individual counseling yourself, just to talk to someone to see if there is anything that you as the wife can work on. Once you figure out that part, I would also say, obviously, trying to have a conversation with your husband. Sometimes when we are able to speak to a therapist or a professional, sometimes they can say, well, maybe you can try to word it in this way. Because sometimes the way we word things or the way we go into conversation doesn't allow for the other person to feel safe, right? So We may be doing all of the right things, so we think, right? Because remember, we don't know if we don't ask or if we don't listen. So we may be doing all the right things. We may be really trying, but our delivery may not be the best, right? So I would definitely say doing a self-evaluation first. And again, like I said, I know everybody kind of feels like, but I'm already doing that. I've already done, you know, looked at me, but just take a moment. And like I said, and if you need to go talk to someone, that helps, just to kind of get another eye on what you're doing in the relationship, right? So then you have a conversation with your husband, talk about that, really trying to understand where he's coming from. Now, this is different for different women. And I would be very honest to say, because the next statement I'm going to say is that you keep being you, right? You keep trying, you keep being who you are. But I need to be clear to all women, this is not the same if you are in an emotionally abusive relationship or a domestic violence relationship. So verbal abuse, physical abuse, whatever it is, that is different, because no matter what you do, unless he gets himself help, it's not going to be enough.
Right. Absolutely. I appreciate you clarifying that for us. Yeah. Well, earlier in our conversation, you were talking about just the toll that it took on your marriage to be so busy, right? And I know if I looked at your calendar today or got a sneak peek at your to-do list, I mean, it would be packed full. You've got big family, you know, you're serving your clients and everything else. And with all of those responsibilities, how can we as busy wives move our marriage to the top of our priority list?
To be very honest, you shift your mindset and you say, my marriage is priority. What does that look like? That means that if you need to have, like, if you have a busy life, if you have a lunch and you need to put your husband's name in your lunch spot, then you put your husband's name in the lunch spot. If you need to have a date night with your husband before you put anything else on your calendar, you put your date nights in the calendar first. Get yourself a reminder for a certain time during the day that you're going to text your husband, that you're going to call your husband. You make your marriage a priority. And people, when I tell people, like, you know, they're like, why do I have to set an alarm? If you had a meeting, would you set an alarm for your meeting? You would. If you had an appointment at work, would you set an appointment? Would you set a reminder? Or would you set a date reminder for a meeting that you have 2 weeks from now or three weeks from now? You would. So if you and your husband set a date and you have a date night, why would you not put that on the calendar? Because then you know, if someone calls you and says, hey, can we take the kids here because this thing is going on? You're going to say, I'm so sorry. I already have something on my calendar for that day. Can we choose another day? But if you don't have anything on your calendar already, if your husband is not already the priority, then what happens is you fill your schedule, you fill your calendar with all of these things, and you look back and you say, oh my gosh, it's been 2 months and we haven't done anything. And the other thing that I would say is to do check-ins. So you should do at least a weekly check-in. Normally, I like to do it midweek, but you can do a check-in and you can say, hey, how are we doing? Have we spent enough time together this week? Is there anything that we need to change in the relationship? Is there anything that we need to do better? Is there anything that we have done great? And you do that midweek. So therefore, if you realize in that time, oh, we haven't done X, Y, and Z, then you're able to make a shift and say, all right, we didn't go on a date last month. What are we going to do this month to change it? And then lastly would be, again, just shifting your mind. The things that are priority to you is what's going to be number one on your mind. And you have to shift your mindset to be your husband, your marriage is important.
Yeah. And I love what you said about how, you know, if you have an open lunch, put your husband in your lunch, right? I mean, so much of it is even those small choices throughout the day. I know for Rob and I, kind of a barometer of if we're putting each other first or not is, what are we doing when we wake up and what are we doing when we go to bed? So if we determine to get up at the same time, we've gained connection even before the kids are awake, and we commit to going to bed at the same time. That way one of us isn't, you know, up all hours and exhausted or whatever. We've started to sync those rhythms with each other so that we're just present. And it's such a small thing, but really helpful for us. So thank you for that.
And I will also say, because you just mentioned that also, but making sure that you do remove distractions during your quality time. So when you make sure that you have your quality time, whenever that is, but making sure that, you know, you're not on the phone. Cause and one thing is, like, if you and Rob are working from home together and other people that do work from home, like, really making sure that you're taking the time to say, okay, you know what, this 30 minutes is going to be no distractions, no phone, no computers, no nothing, just you and I, whether it's you're sitting on the couch, whether it's you're going for a walk, it doesn't matter. But in that moment, like, it's you and him and nobody else.
Right. Yes, that is so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know at your house, you're giving your marriage your all. Rob and I are giving it our all. I mean, so many couples we know, they're so sincerely devoted to each other. But even in the best of circumstances, marriage is just not easy, right? And we do have to stay on top of all of those distractions and the issues that can pull us apart. And as we were talking so much about prayer, I mean, it's so encouraging. We are not in our marriages alone because God is in the middle of them with us. So is there a certain scripture that has encouraged you the most in your own marriage?
Ironically, Habakkuk 2:2 is my all-time scripture. And it's, write the vision and make it plain so those who read it will run with it. And why that is so important to me is that I feel like through our marriage, things shift from time to time. And it's so important that my husband and I are understanding of our vision for our marriage. If we have the same vision, or if we understand each other's even visions for ourselves and are able to understand our vision and our mission for our marriage, then we're both working towards the same thing. And so it's really important to me that we always know what the vision is, that we always understand what we're reaching for. And that is important because then he knows why I do what I do. I know why he does what he does, and I can help support him because I know what his goals are. I know what his goals are for our relationship, and he knows what my goals are for our marriage, for our family. So because of that, we can understand why the other person is working so hard, you know, because he wants to retire at a certain age. So I know he's working so hard because that's what he wants. He has this vision for our family. You know, there's things that we do. So that's one. That's my first one. The other one is actually the passage, and it's the love passage, and it's 1 Corinthians 13:2-7. And the reason why that one is so important to me is because it speaks about what love is and what love is not. And so it's very important, I feel, through your marriage and through my marriage, that I look at that and that I say, okay, am I being boastful? Am I being envious? Am I being patient? Am I being kind? Like, what am I doing and how am I showing my husband love throughout the years, throughout the days, throughout the moments? How am I doing that? And so for me, those are my two scriptures that really encourage me and keep me pushing through my marriage.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. For me, I would say 2 Peter 1:3 is just so good. It says, his divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. So he's granted to us all the things that pertain to life in our marriage and life in our home and godliness as wives. And God did not leave us on our own to figure it all out. He gives us all the things. So if we depend on him, he will absolutely show us the way. And that's just one more call to prayer. If you ask, he says, if you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you without finding fault. He's just so ready to pour out on us what we need to live with our husbands in a loving way.
Yes, he is. And you're not weary in your good doing.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, before we wrap up today, would you be willing to pray for the wife listening who's feeling discouraged and is thinking about maybe even giving up on her marriage right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you, God, we come to you on behalf of all of the women that will hear this podcast, God, all of the women that will not even hear this podcast, but maybe they're in connection with someone, God, but they're listening, they're hearing, God, and they're feeling lonely, God. God, I pray, God, right now, God, for the woman, God, that is trying to make her marriage work, that is trying her hardest, God, to just go make every day in and day out, God, and just trying to really please and just be there with her husband, God. I pray, God, right now that you comfort her, God. I pray, God, right now, God, that she not grow weary, God, in her good doing, God, but that she begins to look to you, God, for understanding. And she looks to you, God, for direction, God. And I ask God right now, God, that when you speak to her and when you give her confirmation on the things that she needs to do, God, that she is able to listen and that she can hear, understand, and obey what it is that you have and that you said to her. And I pray, God, this evening, God, or today for her husband as well, God, that as she begins to do the work, that she begins to do what you have called her to do, God, I am asking, God, that you prepare his heart, creating him a clean heart, oh God. Renew his spirit, God. Allow him to be able to see who she is. Allow him to be able to see the beauty that rests inside of her, God. God, and I pray, God, on today, God, that you bless their marriage. I pray, God, for changes. I pray, God, for a shift in their mindset, that their marriage, God, become the priority, that their marriage, God, become what you have destined it to be. So after this podcast, after hearing this, after the prayer, God, we are asking right now, God, that there be testimonies, God, that these women, God, understand and that they begin to know, God, that you are walking with them side by side and that their husbands, God, will be renewed in you, God, because your word says that the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. So as they're praying, God, I'm asking now that you make it so that their husbands, God, will be renewed and that the wives, God, will be renewed and that they will be comforted as they hear and they listen, God, to this prayer and they listen to this podcast. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I know, too, that our listeners are going to want to learn more about you. They're going to want to learn about your relationship coaching services and definitely your book, Prayers for My Husband. So where is the best place that everybody can connect with you online?
Yes, so they can go to my website, which is www.starlevelcoaching.com. They can also purchase the book there. They can purchase it on Amazon. If they do have a copy of the book, they are more than welcome to join the Prayers for My Husband Facebook group. And it just says Prayers for My Husband. But I am also on social media under Star Level Coaching, under Instagram and Facebook. So I am all over everything. And I'm also on TikTok now. Star Level Coaching on TikTok as well.
That's great. And hey, everybody, we'll make sure to have links in the show notes. So don't miss those. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Estrella. You have given us so much practical help and encouragement today. This has just been a precious time.
Thank you so much, Joanna, for having me. I truly enjoyed it. And I just thank you so much.
And thank you, friends, for joining us at the Growing Home Together podcast. Rob and I would love to connect with you over on our website at growinghometogether.com, where you'll find a free marriage devotional that you can download. And we've got conversation cards for couples and a devotional and a prayer book for couples and all kinds of resources to help you grow closer as a family. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family and we're growing home together with you. Bye.